ministry.
Blog Talk Radio.
I watched him confront the Pharisees. I was there when he fed the 5,000. I heard the people gasp when he healed the lame. You see, man, I remember the littlest things. Things that most folks would forget, like the simple, loving way he just called my name. Up at the gravestone rolled away with a loud voice, Jesus started to say. You know, it just seemed like yesterday. I could hear that man saying my name. As a matter of fact, it seemed like today I...
Lazarus.
Excuse me, brothers. I think I hear him calling now. What?
Lazarus.
Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for another Bible study. We
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to let your Holy Spirit reveal your word to us. And as we listen and as we glean, as we take note, oh God, we ask that the harvest on every seed sown will be 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. And Father God, we also thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. We curse you from the root and command you be bound in Jesus' name. And once again, Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we give you the glory, the honor, the praise. We bless your name today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So glad that so many of you are on the call today. And we have been going through the 9 types of prayer, and the Lord has been blessing us. We had Brother Neil Reyes to assist us and what we've been doing. And our agenda for the day, what we're going to do is to play as a review one time the prayer of agreement, and then we're going to go to the next type of prayer, which is the prayer of supplication. And we're going to listen to that twice. After each video, after each audio, we will take some time, I don't know, 3 to 5 minutes to discuss or have any questions asked and answered concerning the video and concerning the types of prayer. Hallelujah. Again, thank you so much for sharing this with others, and so many are on the call right now. We thank you so much for joining us. So without further ado, we're going to deal with a review of last week's prayer of agreement.
Referred to as the prayer of faith. And today we're covering the prayer of agreement. So let's just jump right in and see what it is. The first question we have is, what is a prayer of agreement? A prayer of agreement is often touted within churches where they'll say that, you know, when two or more of you stand in agreement with each other, something shall be done for you or you shall receive it. But how do we do that, and how do we back that up in Scripture, and what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you didn't watch yesterday's teaching, I encourage you either after this teaching or now, go back and watch it and then come back to this one. But you do need to watch it. And the reason why, a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as the prayer of faith. The only difference is that when you're saying a prayer of faith, it's only one person who's praying it. When you say a prayer of agreement, you have two or more people standing in agreement on a prayer of faith. So a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. It's just that two or more people are standing in agreement on it. That being said, there's a couple things you need to know. The first one is that when you're praying a prayer of agreement, before you go to pray it, everyone who's praying must be in complete agreement. I will also tell you that this is not united prayer or corporate prayer. We'll be covering that next week. But this is a prayer usually among two to three people. Now, yes, it can be more than that, but usually you limit it to two to three people. And then I'll explain reasons on united prayer and corporate prayer why that is. But typically we want to limit this to just a couple people. Now, when you pray a prayer of agreement, what you're basically doing is a prayer of faith is where you find a promise within God's word that you stand upon that directly speaks or can be applied to your specific situation. And when you do that, you turn around and you get two or more people to stand in agreement with you. But you must be in agreement beforehand, not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the answer and the desired outcome. And then once you make that prayer of faith or prayer of agreement made before the Lord, when you present your petition before the Lord, those two or more people stay standing in agreement until it has manifested or come to pass, until the answer has manifested or come to pass. The reason why it's important with two or more people is sometimes you might have one person feeling a little down or maybe feeling a little beat up, and that's where your prayer partner comes in to help and encourage you. If you are doing a prayer of agreement with someone and you begin to doubt, now not doubt in your heart, but doubt in your head about whether it's going to happen or it'll be answered, you're to reach out directly to your prayer partner immediately for encouragement. When you reach out to them, it's very important that you don't elaborate on why you're down or don't elaborate on the doubt that's circling within your mind, because you don't want to negatively impact them, and then you both start lining up in agreement on doubt that you don't want to do. What you're simply doing is, as accountability, you're contacting the other person who's praying with you or people, and you simply say, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to boost me up. I need you to lift me up. Let's do some prayer on this. And let them go ahead and minister to you. And as they minister to you, you'll find that you'll bounce back quickly. Whatever doubt was trying to impede you or trying to jump in your mind is now gone, and you're back on track. Now, also keep in mind that there's a difference between doubting in our minds and doubting in our hearts. There are times that you're going to have thoughts that come in your mind where you may doubt the outcome or doubt whether you're going to receive what you prayed about. But to doubt in your mind is not the same thing as to doubt in your heart. To doubt in your heart means you doubt that the Lord is capable of providing that for you, and that's when you lose the blessing or what you're believing for. To doubt in your mind, you have to deal with it. It's okay if doubt comes in, but you must wash your mind with the Word of God and send it right back out. That being said, if you have a doubt in your mind, don't be concerned that you've lost what you're believing for. It's just a quick moment of doubt, but you refresh yourself on what you're believing for and what you're standing on, and you wash yourself clean by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. It tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And when you do that, that doubt will leave. That doesn't mean you've lost what you're believing for. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to go ahead and read you some scriptures, and we're going to jump right into this on what the prayer of agreement is. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. In this scripture, it gives us a couple different things. The first thing, it talks about binding in heaven and binding on earth. that also talks about how you have the ability to go before the Father, and anything you ask in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, he will not deny you. He will give you. In other words, meaning that when you pray, you need to believe that you've received. And if you don't receive, it's because either your prayer doesn't line up with the will of God, you're praying something false, okay, or you're not believing that God is capable of already providing it for you. That's not something he has to provide in the future. That's something he's already done. You may not receive it until the future, but the moment you pray, you believe that he's already provided it for you. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, that is when it was provided for you. You just have to call it into the now. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, at that moment, that's where every prayer you'll ever need to pray has been answered. All you need to do is call it into the now. In other words, you need to call it out of the past, and you need to call it in to the present. You need to call it into the now by faith. Now, that being said, when we talk about that, one of the things that we go over is that the other responsibility it said, other than binding, is also said that where two or more of you gather in my name, I shall be in your midst. You know, one of the things we talked about before were the names of God. And one of the names of God I talked about was Jehovah Shema. I am the Lord who's there. When I'm doing the prayer of agreement with someone, I almost always turn around and exalt God as Jehovah Shema, that he's the God who's there over that situation. I am bringing him into remembrance over his word. And then I declare this word that you said, Father, wherever two or more of us gather in your name, there you shall be in the midst. Now, one thing to know. It tells us in the word that you've been given the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth. But I will tell you this, that if you read that scripture carefully, nowhere does it say that God will do the binding. The binding is your responsibility. He has given you the spiritual authority to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. But if the devil is running rampant within your life, if the enemy is attacking you rampantly within your life, and you're waiting for God to come down and bind them for you, you're going to be waiting for a while. Not because God's not capable of it, but because that's not God's role, that's your role. He has given you the ability, the authority of the believer to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. Now, some people might say, but I'm scared of the devil, or what about the devil? There's no reason to be. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures to reinforce what I'm telling you. The first one I want you to turn to is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people say submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, saying nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When he talks about giving us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, those also have spiritual references to the enemy or demonic forces. He's given us authority to trample on them. And it tells us that he's given us power over all the enemy. So, and over all the power of the enemy, meaning that, yeah, the enemy has power, but you've been given more. And your power that you've been given is God's power. And the way you leverage it is with the name of Jesus, and you leverage it over that. If I were teaching on the armor of God, which we've actually taught about before, one of the armor things in the armor of God is you have several things of protection, but you have one weapon, and your one weapon's a sword. The sword is the word of God, and that's what that's talking about right there. You've been given power and authority over the power of the enemy, and you've been given authority to trample on scorpions and on serpents. Let's go ahead and keep reading. What I want to read to you next are a couple of scriptures that reinforce the power of agreement. The first one is James 5:14 through 15. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and their prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, in yesterday's teaching on the prayer petition or prayer of faith, I was talking about how you have the ability to pray that on your own by finding a scripture in the word that promises your healing and stand in agreement on that with the Lord that you have received your healing. this is a reinforcing prayer. There are four different ways for a person to receive a healing, and although we're not going to go over all of them, the first and main one is by standing on a promise of God, which is what we taught you yesterday with the prayer of petition. The second way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you. And when you turn around and do that, and actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. That's actually the third way. I'll give you all four. So the first way is by standing on Scripture and standing on God's promises with a prayer petition that you've received your healing. The second way is going before friends or family members and asking them to stand in agreement with you on those Scriptures, which is what we're talking about today, which is a prayer of agreement. A third way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you, which is also a part of the prayer of agreement. And then in addition to that, your fourth way is when you have someone who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they operate in the gifts of healing, and if God prompts them to, that they pray over you and release the healing into you. And they don't even have to be in the same city with you or same state. It can be long distance because there's no distance within the spiritual realm within God's kingdom. Now, that being said, this scripture right here reinforces that you can either pray the prayer petition for your own healing, or if you're struggling in the area of faith and you waver at times, then you need to find someone to stand in agreement with you, whether it be a friend or family member or the elders of your church. But these have to be people that remember before you pray, you've already come into agreement, full agreement of what the outcome of that prayer is going to be. Now, the next one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Let's read. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Let's skip down to verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some translations talk about it's not easily broken. So here's how you pray a prayer of agreement. The first thing to remember is a prayer of agreement is the same thing as a prayer of faith. You're finding a promise in God's word that you're standing on, and you're turning around, and with the prayer of agreement, you're coming into full agreement for what the outcome is going to be. The one thing I want to caution you on or remind you of is you're not to magnify the problem. Don't tell God about how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. When you pray the prayer of agreement, you are not to talk about the problem or to pray about the problem. You are to pray about the answer. A very quick example of that would be, let's say you're in great financial distress. And great can be different for different people, okay? But let's say you're in great financial distress. Let's say, for example, you fall behind on your home payment, and let's say you're 4 or 5 months behind on it, and you need, let's just say, $6,000 quick. You don't turn around and pray about the problem, about what's going on and that you're getting ready to get foreclosed on or kicked out of your house. You pray about the answer. You turn around and you find the scripture that supports what you're believing for and that you supports what God said he would do for you. And then you take the prayer to him and you pray it and you turn around and are very specific. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say many times that vague goals produce vague results. I will tell you in leadership, I repeat that often, but I say vague plans produce vague results. Vague communication produces vague results. Okay? A vague prayer will produce a vague result. You need to be specific about what you're believing for. You need to turn around and say that if it's $6,000 you need for to get you caught up, then you need to pray for that. But be mindful. You're going to have a payment coming up the following month. So don't just pray for what you need at that moment. Think about ahead of time. But here's what you say. But you need to pray based on what your faith can believe for. And your faith will grow at different times, so you'll be able to believe for larger things. But that's why the prayer of agreement is beneficial, because whoever you're praying with, if they're built up, and you need to ask the Lord who to ask for prayer of agreement, because if you find someone who's very built up in healing, but they're not built up in finances, then they can help you with the prayer of agreement, but it may not be as powerful as someone who's very built up in that area. So let the Lord lead you. You know, I heard Keith Moore, my spiritual father in the faith, say one time, what's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led. The answer to 1,000 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. So you turn around, you go get someone, you get an agreement, you specifically say ahead of time what you're believing for and the desired outcome, and then as you do that, you turn around and present the word back to God and his promise, and you're very specific about what you're praying for. And the moment you're done, you believe, you rejoice, and you thank God, and you continually stay in thanks until it's manifested within the natural. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media and connect with us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. And if these teachings are feeding you, all I ask is that you turn around and share them with others. Why? Not to magnify me, but let's get this word to others so we can start to help them out. Guys, I want to thank you for turning around and stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off. Any questions, anybody? Any clarity? Anybody need clarity? Or the list of scriptures that he gave?
So the scripture he gave on the Ecclesiastics, I heard 9 through 12, but what was the chapter?
4.
Oh, 4. Okay, thank you. And the basic formula is to, whatever your situation is, find the word of God that you're going to pray to support it. Get a person, 2 or 3 persons, to touch and agree. Same mindset in unity, no doubting. Ask one time, agree, date it, write it down. Oh, that's not that one. Okay. But at least you agree with it, all three of you, right? And you
right. Wait on and you can even ask them. So you know that everybody on the same page. They got some doubt. You don't want them.
Mm-mm.
And that's my question, because the two doubts were doubt in heart and doubt in mind. And when he said you doubt in heart, can you give me a little bit clarification on that, please?
What was the question again?
He said it's a difference in doubting in your heart and your mind.
Okay. When you doubt in your heart, you doubt whether God can do it. Now, we know God, so your heart is okay. It's the attack is on your mind. The devil will put doubt in your mind. You got to get rid of it. You wash that with the word of God. But you know that God can do it. That's in your heart. Now, if you don't think that God can do it, then that's doubt in your heart.
And that's when it will not happen.
Well, if you doubt in your heart, definitely it's not going to happen.
Yes, because he said even in mind, even...
I beg your pardon?
He said even if you doubt in the mind, it could happen, but if you doubt in your heart, then it will not happen.
Right. When you doubt in your mind, you got to wash it out. You can't let that sit there. You can't saute that doubt. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it with the word of God. That's your weapon. Doubting in your heart is doubting that God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. All right. And I'm trying to set up the prayer of supplication. But you can go on, Pastor Peaches. You can go on and anybody else.
Yeah.
Did everybody get the scriptures?
Yeah.
18 to 20. James 4:7. Luke 10:19. James 5:14-15. And Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. And then in verse 12. But today is date is 25th or 26th?
25th.
Thank you.
Magnify the problem. You magnify the problem solver.
Amen. Because the more you, if you, because once you start magnifying the problem, the the bigger and bigger it'll get. And then your mind is, and that's when the doubt and all, it come in, make you think, oh, I mean, and so therefore, and even the pastor says, he and Neil Reyes said it too, don't tell God how big the problem is, tell the problem how big your God is.
When you pray, be specific. Detail.
Amen. Exactly. I always tell people when they believe in God for something, be specific. You want a car? Be specific. You want a home? Be specific. I've even been told when I was raising my girls and they wanted different things, or when I'm telling somebody that's believing God for a home to get a book and write down your color schemes for each room.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to purchase things specifically in the color of that room, your color scheme, and tuck it away, put it away. Don't tell nobody.
You have to say something about a storybook.
And that color scheme.
I didn't mean to talk over you. But the pastor say you could start making up a storyboard. Put up things that you want, posting it in your refrigerator somewhere, making a storyboard for the things that you want. Jumping it on.
Was that the word, the storyboard, or you mean like cutting out pictures and putting it up on the board of the things
you
desire?
You want. Uh huh. We'll talk about that another time if you want to.
That's not a bad idea. And also, going through a magazine, believing God for different things, and putting it up on the refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps your vision in front of you. It keeps your desire in front of you. It's a reminder of what to pray for and how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil's job is to make you think, "Oh, God ain't going to do that." You're asking for something too big, but when you have something ever before you. It's a reminder, and even put the prayer, the scripture. One of the first things you have to do is get a scripture that you're standing on, and that you're believing Him for that goes along with what you're praying for, and write down. And stand on a promise, stand on a scripture, the scriptures you stand on, and write it out. Put it on a file card.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say put it in the bathroom, the places in the house that you will more frequently go more in anywhere, the bathroom, and you can put stuff on the refrigerator, and put stuff on the mirror in the bathroom. Go there. I don't get in the middle of the night. Say it. Quote it. The more become real to you.
Teachers, I've never told you this, but when Shelly pulled up a picture off of She got a picture for me to put on my refrigerator, which I still have it today. And she used to have a daycare over there off of Windsor Mill Road. I was helping her out, and I told her I wanted a B&B. She pulled it up on the screen, and she let me pick out the one I like. I still have it on my refrigerator today that she did for me. It is so special. I forgot to even tell you about that. It's still here looking at it. That's my B&B, yes. That's the first one.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it's so true.
And the more we look at something, the more we quote that scripture, the more real it becomes to us. I know when I was believing God for a home, thank God for and believe God for so much that it was almost one day, it was almost like a ghost in front of me, almost like I could reach out and touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we had to believe, because we know God for you. We know what God can do, and we have to believe in our heart. And you also have to be careful who you mention your desires to. Just like
that's
you were saying, knowing you ask, find out if the people first of all, ask God who to touch and agree, who you can touch and agree with, or who's going to be.
Amen.
And so therefore, because you don't want him doubting.
Power.
If you want for something, there's something in your heart, and that's something that you want. You want to know that the person that you're getting is on the same page as you.
That's right.
So therefore,
Amen. Again, this is the prayer of agreement that we went over last week. And a prayer of agreement is just like a prayer of petition or a prayer of faith, except that you deal with it with two or more people, two or three people. And it's important when you pray, you don't focus in on the problem. You focus on the solution, what you want to see occur. That's why so many
men
have the same problems occurring over and over again, because they're focusing on the problem and not the solution.
Amen.
All right. The next prayer that we're going to talk about for today is the prayer of supplication. And what we're going to do, we're going to play this twice. We're going to play it one time, have questions and answers, and then we're going to play it the second time so that we can make sure that you're getting all the scriptures. And sometimes when you hear something one time, you get something, then you hear it another time, you get something else. So that's why we're going to play it twice, okay? All right. We're
Amen.
Ready.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of supplication. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the prayer of supplication. This week and next week, if you've been following with us, we're going through a mini-series where we're discussing the different types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible. There are 9 different main types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible, and we're going to be covering those this week and next week. That way you have a better understanding of the different types of prayer that are out there. Now, the reason why that's important, as we've said it before, in many cases, the reason why people's prayers are not answered is oftentimes because they're not praying in the correct manner. In other words, there are rules or certain rules that govern prayer. And what we're doing this week and next week is we're discussing the different types of prayers that are out there in the Word so that when you encounter a situation or need or desire in your life, you know how to provide or apply the correct type of prayer to your situation. That being said, there's other reasons why people don't get their prayers answered sometimes as well. Sometimes they just simply say a prayer, but they don't put no faith behind it. Other times they say a prayer, but it doesn't line up in accordance with the will of God for their life, so it's not answered either. Other times, I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time that people are praying the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to move on to our next prayer that we're covering, and today's prayer is the prayer of supplication. Now, the first question that comes up when we talk about the prayer of supplication is, what exactly is a prayer of supplication, and why do I need to use it? Well, a prayer of supplication is simply this. Sometimes people confuse a prayer of supplication to be a casual request or a casual prayer. I will tell you that there is nothing casual about praying. In fact, sometimes we hear people say that when they're going through a tough situation, all you can do now is pray, or all you can do now is put it in God's hands. I'm going to tell you that you need to get to a place within your mindset that when you need an answer, the first thing you do is take it to the throne. You take it directly to God. In other words, prayer is not the last thing you do. Prayer is not the only thing you can do now. Prayer is the first thing you do. And you take it directly to the throne by praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, what a prayer of supplication is again, it's not a casual prayer. The prayer of supplication is a humble prayer. It's a humble request that you make unto the Lord. In other words, prayer of supplication deals more with the manner in which you pray rather than the words in which you say or the content that you're presenting before the Lord. And by content, I'm meaning when you're wordsmithing. Sometimes when people pray, sometimes people have good vocabularies. And so if they have a good vocabulary, when they pray, it may sound more eloquent than yours. But I will tell you, it does not take an eloquent prayer to make a prayer work. What makes the prayer of supplication work is that it deals with the manner in which you prayed. It deals with your condition of your heart. It's a humble request that deals with the manner in which you prayed, and it deals with your heart. I will tell you that if someone does pray around you and they sound very eloquent, they may not necessarily think they sound eloquent. That's just how they speak. That's their vernacular. That's how they. That's their depository bank in their mind of the vocabulary that they use, and there's nothing wrong with that. But other times when people try to pray and they're being haughty about it, or they're trying to boast on, look how fancy I pray, I will tell you that those prayers don't avail much because they're done in the wrong manner. Like I said, the prayer of supplication is based around, it's a humble request, a humble prayer that deals with the manner in which you pray. I want to go ahead and get right into some scripture and give you some scriptures that back up what the prayer of supplication is, and then we're going to explain how to use and apply it to your life. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 6 through 7. Let's read. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what you will notice is that there's a reoccurring theme to all the different types of prayer we're going to show you. Every type of prayer starts with you asking. It tells us in the book of James that you have not because you ask not. Prayer starts with a form of asking, but prayer must always end with a form of thanksgiving or giving thanks to God. Why? Because when you pray, you're supposed to believe you have already received the answer to what you prayed about. You're supposed to believe you already received that thing you prayed for. And the way you show that is by operating in faith. And the way you illustrate your faith is by presenting true and genuine thanksgiving to God, thanking him for that answer. And every time that thing pops back up in your mind and you think about it, you simply thank the Lord for it. And if you have to thank him 100 times within 1 minute, then you thank him 100 times within 1 minute. Remember, this is called Champion's Minute. If you don't know what that means, my name is Neil. And the name, meaning of the name Neil is champion. When I first went before the Lord and asked him what he wanted me to call my broadcast, the Lord told me he wanted us to call our main broadcast Champion's Walk, which meant Neil's Walk. In these short teachings, he wanted me to call it Champion's Minute. And what we're basically discussing is these are things that I have operated and used within my own life. These aren't things I just pull out of a book or pull off of a teaching I hear from someone else, and I'm like, that's good, I need to teach that. No. I'm led by the Holy Spirit to teach on things that he's shown us and that we practice. So remember, a prayer of supplication deals with your heart. Now, when it talks about this, other translations also talk about Philippians 4, 6 through 7, that he'll give you the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding, and that peace helps to guard both your heart and your mind. Why? Because that's where doubt tries to fester. Doubt will always try to enter your mind, and by entering your mind, it'll try to worm its way down to your heart. I will tell you that it's possible for a person to doubt with their mind, but not doubt with their heart. But if you don't deal with doubt, that once it enters your mind, eventually it can try to worm its way down into your heart. And when you doubt with your heart, that's when you're doubting God's ability to actually do that thing you prayed for, or it's you doubting that he actually has the ability to perform what his word promise he would perform. When doubt gets in your mind, you need to get it right out. You need to take hold of those thoughts and cast them down. You know, it talks about how you don't let birds roost in your hair, nor should you let doubt roost in your mind. Let's go ahead and move on to our next scripture. The next scripture I want to read to you is out of Ephesians, and it's going to be 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sometimes people have a hard time of understanding what the saints mean. If you come from a Catholic background or if you're in the Catholic faith, the saints that you're taught to are the people who live what they would consider by man's standard extraordinary lives of holiness who are recognized by the Catholic Church. Now, it's nothing wrong for the Catholic Church to acknowledge those people, but I will tell you that when we start to exalt any type of person higher than the Lord or on the same level as the Lord, we're almost holding it up as a false idol or deity. So we need to be careful with that. It's okay for us to show honor to saints that they that to people that they believe are saints that have lived extra extraordinary lives, but you must be very careful that you exalt them to be on the same level as Jesus or the Lord, or that you turn around and you hold them in some type of a deity status. Now, that being said, the saints that's actually talking about in Ephesians, it's actually talking about saints. That's what they refer to as believers. I remember when I first got saved, I used to refer to people sometimes that, man, you know, I'm a saint. And they'd turn around and get so upset with that. And I can understand why, because they had in their mindset from a Catholic background what the church held as a saint. And then they saw me, and even though I was saved, they saw my lifestyle of living, and they said, you are not a saint. That being said, I will tell you that it refers to here praying for all the saints. Saints are considered all the believers. Let's go ahead and move on to our next one. Our next one is out of 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I will tell you that this scripture right here describes what the church is supposed to be doing, but much of the body of Christ is not. Let me go through it. It says that he exalts, first of all, that supplications, prayer, supplication, humble, earnest request that you're praying on behalf of yourself or another, the humble, earnest prayer of supplication. Also, intercessions. That's when you're praying on behalf of another person. You're interceding for them. And as you grow in the prayer of intercession, sometimes the Lord will lay that down on your heart as a burden. It'll be a heaviness. We'll talk about that at other times. We're going to cover intercession later on in the series. But intercession, sometimes he'll lay a burden on your heart or heaviness. And it might even be for a person you don't even know. The next level it talks about is and giving of thanks, which we're also going to talk about the prayer of thanksgiving, worship, and praise later on as well. But in giving of thanks, be made for all men. All men means all men. That doesn't mean the people that you like only. That means all men. And then it finishes it where it says, because honor to whom honor is due, God talks about for kings and all who are in authority. Guys, if you're praying the prayer of supplication, we've covered how to do it. Again, and just a quick recap, a prayer of supplication deals with you having right standing of the heart. It's not a casual request, but it's a humble request. You don't necessarily have to back it with all kinds of scriptures. You don't have to write it down like a petition or prayer petition like we showed before. It's just simply you going before God, and you're making a humble and earnest request before him. And as you make it to him, you're making the request directly to the Father, so you're praying directly to God, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our intercessor that's at his right hand. No one else is at God's right hand except Jesus, and Jesus is our intercessor. He said when he went to be with the Father, he would turn around and give us the Holy Spirit for comfort, but he was going to the Father to be our intercessor, and he said that anything we ask of the Father in his name would be given to us. Guys, I hope that you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to swing by our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or our Twitter. And when you go on there, connect with us. Like us, share us, subscribe to us, do whatever you need to do. If you're finding these teachings encouraging, there's a good chance the loved ones around you will as well. We invite you to help share this word and partner with us on that so we can get the good word, the good news, out to the lost. Guys, I want to thank you and remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Hallelujah. We're going to discuss this, but we're going to play it again also so that you can so it can really be ingrained in our spirits. Any questions or comments on what you heard?
Yes, what was the last scripture he gave? 1 Timothy, that's all I heard. 2:1-2. 2:1-2?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
The prayer of supplication is more about our attitude and dealing with it than mm-hmm. what is said. Sometimes we have people who pray and they say, well, I'm mad at God, and they pray with an attitude, a bad attitude. And they pray to God. But that's not a prayer of supplication. I don't know what that is, but I tell you, you are my. I put it this way: my arms are too short to box with God, so I'm gonna for the for Almighty God in Jesus' name. But any questions or comments about the prayer of supplication?
Is that why God says He judges the heart? You know, our actions can be all over the place, but He's looking to see what your heart is saying.
Yes, I think that is because a lot of times we the fruit of the Spirit it talks about meekness, humility, and I think humility and supplication. I think that they kind of go together there, where we really are sincere in our approach to whatever we're praying for, and be really sincere and just addressing what the issue, and not heartily, or boastfully or whatever, but we're humbly beseeching God, from our heart, to do something or to perform something, and what can I say? Supplication just is a peaceful prayer in a way, like the scripture Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious. So you're calm down. You're not upset. And you share. You kind of your attitude, and you're not anxious. As a word I learned today, it's called it's spelled FANTODS. It's called frontage. It means jittery, anxiousness.
FAN.
No, that's FAN, F as in Frank, AN as in Nia, TODS, D as in David, S. It's called Fontas. That's jitteriness, anxiousness, feeling of, I can't think of another word. Nervousness, yes. You go to God in faith, believing, but you don't be anxious about it. You tell Lord, and it's just your heart, the way you approach that prayer of supplication. Are we gonna listen to it again? So we all can get something, because I'm getting something out of it too. So we're going to listen to that again. But any more questions or comments?
Brother Bear, I was thinking about the word humbleness. What does humbleness mean? It's almost like a grave respectfulness toward the anointing of, you're really humble and you're respectful and you're really broken down. It's like you're laying prostrate verbally within your heart.
Well, that's
being a reverence too.
Yeah, it's reverence. It's also, like I don't have to be first. I put something else before me. Humble heart. I don't have to be the first one in the line.
Right.
Humble. You're putting God first. You're putting others first. You don't have to be the show. You're there to be a support. You're there to encourage and to help, but not to be not the show.
It chooses to be the background.
Yes. Yes, and you can do that. You can do that. And it's relying on the Spirit to lead you. the unction of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit will let you know when to step forward and when to just chill. Let someone else take the lead. That to me is a lot of humility. I know that others have a better understanding of that even than I. Okay. So,
thank the Lord.
Any other questions before we play this again? Let me hit this.
I'd just like to say, in addition to you, Dr. Bird, when you were talking about humility, it's just in addition to your definition, it's showing a spirit of submission. It's like a person can ask a question, and you answer. Someone can answer a question. The answer can be okay. Then you have somebody else to answer the same question, but the way they answer it, they want you to see them. It's an arrogance there. But a person who's humble, they would just answer a question, give you what you need, and move on. There's no attention being drawn to them.
Yeah.
And that's further describes, as you could already
very good.
In a different
way. Very good. Yes, that's so true. That is so
Amen.
True.
Amen.
Let me see.
All of the attorneys at Greenberg and Fetterman, they were very assertive, and they kept me in the loop the entire time.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Ray. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're continuing our series on the types of prayer, and today's prayer we're covering is the prayer of supplication. Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called the prayer of supplication. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called the prayer of supplication. This week and next week, if you've been following with us, we're going through a mini-series where we're discussing the different types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible. There are 9 different main types of prayer that are discussed in the Bible, and we're going to be covering those this week and next week. That way, you have a better understanding of the different types of prayer that are out there. Now, the reason why that's important, as we've said it before, in many cases, the reason why people's prayers are not answered is oftentimes because they're not praying in the correct manner. In other words, there are rules or certain rules that govern prayer. And what we're doing this week and next week is we're discussing the different types of prayers that are out there in the Word so that when you encounter a situation or need or desire in your life, you know how to provide or apply the correct type of prayer to your situation. That being said, there's other reasons why people don't get their prayers answered sometimes as well. Sometimes they just simply say a prayer, but they don't put no faith behind it. Other times they say a prayer, but it doesn't line up in accordance with the will of God for their life, so it's not answered either. Other times, I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, that people are praying the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to move on to our next prayer that we're covering, and today's prayer is the prayer of supplication. Now, the first question that comes up when we talk about the prayer of supplication is, what exactly is a prayer of supplication, and why do I need to use it? Well, a prayer of supplication is simply this. Sometimes people confuse the prayer of supplication to be a casual request or a casual prayer. I will tell you that there is nothing casual about praying. In fact, sometimes we hear people say that when they're going through a tough situation, all you can do now is pray, or all you can do now is put it in God's hands. I'm going to tell you that you need to get to a place within your mindset that when you need an answer, the first thing you do is take it to the throne. You take it directly to God. In other words, prayer is not the last thing you do. Prayer is not the only thing you can do now. Prayer is the first thing you do. And you take it directly to the throne by praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, what a prayer of supplication is again, it's not a casual prayer. The prayer of supplication is a humble prayer. It's a humble request that you make unto the Lord. In other words, prayer of supplication deals more with the manner in which you pray rather than the words in which you say or the content that you're presenting before the Lord. And by content, I'm meaning when you're wordsmithing. Sometimes when people pray, sometimes people have good vocabularies. And so if they have a good vocabulary, when they pray, it may sound more eloquent than yours. But I will tell you, it does not take an eloquent prayer to make a prayer work. What makes the prayer of supplication work is that it deals with the manner in which you prayed. It deals with your condition of your heart. It's a humble request that deals with the manner in which you prayed, and it deals with your heart. I will tell you that if someone does pray around you and they sound very eloquent, they may not necessarily think they sound eloquent. That's just how they speak. That's their vernacular. That's how they. That's their depository bank in their mind of the vocabulary that they use, and there's nothing wrong with that. But other times when people try to pray and they're being haughty about it, or they're trying to boast on, look how fancy I pray, I will tell you that those prayers don't avail much because they're done in the wrong manner. Like I said, the prayer supplication is based around, it's a humble request, a humble prayer that deals with the manner in which you pray. I want to go ahead and get right into some scripture and give you some scriptures that back up what the prayer supplication is, and then we're going to explain how to use and apply it to your life. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to go through verses 6 through 7. Let's read. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what you will notice is that there's a reoccurring theme to all the different types of prayer we're going to show you. Every type of prayer starts with you asking. It tells us in the book of James that you have not because you ask not. Prayer starts with a form of asking, but prayer must always end with a form of thanksgiving or giving thanks to God. Why? Because when you pray, you're supposed to believe you have already received the answer to what you prayed about. You're supposed to believe you already received that thing you prayed for. And the way you show that is by operating in faith. And the way you illustrate your faith is by presenting true and genuine thanksgiving to God, thanking him for that answer. And every time that thing pops back up in your mind and you think about it, you simply thank the Lord for it. And if you have to thank him 100 times within 1 minute, then you thank him 100 times within 1 minute. Remember, this is called Champion's Minute. If you don't know what that means, my name is Neil. And the name, meaning of the name Neil is champion. When I first went before the Lord and asked him what he wanted me to call my broadcast, the Lord told me he wanted us to call our main broadcast Champion's Walk, which meant Neil's Walk. In these short teachings, he wanted me to call it Champion's Minute. And what we're basically discussing is these are things that I have operated and used within my own life. These aren't things I just pull out of a book or pull off of a teaching I hear from someone else, and I'm like, that's good. I need to teach that. No. I'm led by the Holy Spirit to teach on things that he's shown us and that we practice. So remember, a prayer supplication deals with your heart. Now, when it talks about this, other translations also talk about Philippians 4, 6 through 7, that he'll give you the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding, and that peace helps to guard both your heart and your mind. Why? Because that's where doubt tries to fester. Doubt will always try to enter your mind, and by entering your mind, it'll try to worm its way down to your heart. I will tell you that it's possible for a person to doubt with their mind, but not doubt with their heart. But if you don't deal with doubt, that once it enters your mind, eventually it can try to worm its way down into your heart. And when you doubt with your heart, that's when you're doubting God's ability to actually do that thing you prayed for, or it's you doubting that he actually has the ability to perform what his word promised he would perform. When doubt gets in your mind, you need to get it right out. You need to take hold of those thoughts and cast them down. You know, it talks about how you don't let birds roost in your hair, nor should you let doubt roost in your mind. Let's go ahead and move on to our next scripture. The next scripture I want to read to you is out of Ephesians, and it's going to be 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. sometimes people have a hard time of understanding what the saints mean. If you come from a Catholic background or if you're in the Catholic faith, the saints that you're taught to are the people who live what they would consider by man's standard extraordinary lives of holiness who are recognized by the Catholic Church. Now, it's nothing wrong for the Catholic Church to acknowledge those people. But I will tell you that when we start to exalt any type of person higher than the Lord or on the same level as the Lord, we're almost holding it up as a false idol or deity. So we need to be careful with that. It's okay for us to show honor to saints to people that they believe are saints that have lived extraordinary lives, but you must be very careful that you exalt them to be on the same level as Jesus or the Lord, or that you turn around and you hold them in some type of a deity status. Now, that being said, the saints that it's actually talking about in Ephesians, it's actually talking about saints. That's what they refer to as believers. I remember when I first got saved, I used to refer to people sometimes that, man, you know, I'm a saint. And they turn around and get so upset with that. And I can understand why, because they had in their mindset from a Catholic background what the church held as a saint. And then they saw me, and even though I was saved, they saw my lifestyle I was living, and they said, you are not a saint. That being said, I will tell you that it refers to here praying for all the saints. Saints are considered all the believers. Let's go ahead and move on to our next one. Our next one is out of 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I will tell you that this scripture right here describes what the church is supposed to be doing, but much of the body of Christ is not. Let me go through it. It says that he exalts, first of all, that supplications, prayer, supplication, humble, earnest request that you're praying on behalf of yourself or another, the humble, earnest prayer of supplication. Also, intercessions. That's when you're praying on behalf of another person. You're interceding for them. And mm-hmm. as you grow in the spirit of intercession, sometimes the Lord will lay that down on your heart as a burden. It'll be a heaviness. We'll talk about that at other times. We're going to cover intercession later on in the series. But intercession, sometimes he'll lay a burden on your heart or heaviness. And it might even be for a person you don't even know. The next level it talks about is and giving of thanks, which we're also going to talk about the prayer of thanksgiving, worship, and praise later on as well. But in giving of thanks, be made for all men. All men means all men. That doesn't mean the people that you like only. That means all men. And then it finishes it where it says, because honor to whom honor is due, God talks about for kings and all who are in authority. Guys, if you're praying the prayer of supplication, we've covered how to do it. Again, and just a quick recap, a prayer of supplication deals with you having right standing of the heart. It's not a casual request, but it's a humble request. You don't necessarily have to back it with all kinds of scriptures. You don't have to write it down like a petition or prayer petition like we showed before. It's just simply you going before God, and you're making a humble and earnest request before him. And as you make it to him, you're making the request directly to the Father, so you're praying directly to God, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our intercessor that's at his right hand. No one else is at God's right hand except Jesus, and Jesus is our intercessor. He said when he went to be with the Father, he would turn around and give us the Holy Spirit for comfort, but he was going to the Father to be our intercessor, and he said that anything we ask of the Father in his name would be given to us. Guys, I hope that you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition to that, swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to swing by our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or our Twitter. And when you go on there, connect with us. Like us, share us, subscribe to us, do whatever you need to do. If you're finding these teachings encouraging, there's a good chance the loved ones around you will as well. We invite you to help share this word and partner with us on that so we can get the good word, the good news, out to the lost. Guys, I want to thank you and remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
All right, praise God. And I'm looking at this type of prayer, and it's sort of similar. Now the nine types of prayer, I'm going to share that with you real quick. That's a prayer of petition or faith. Then it's a prayer of agreement. Then it's a prayer of supplication. Then it's a prayer of dedication or consecration. Then it's a prayer of thanksgiving, worship, and praise. And then it's a prayer of casting all your cares upon the Lord. And then it's united prayer, what we call corporate prayer. Then it's intercessory prayer. And then it's praying in the spirit. But what I saw with the prayer of supplication is like the prayer of petition or faith. Because the prayer of agreement is the same as the prayer of petition or faith, but it is with two or more people. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that seems like we can have two different kinds of prayers kind of merging together. I could see a prayer supplication in some of the other types of prayers that we will be dealing with in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the manner of how you pray as opposed to what you pray. I don't know if you
mm-hmm.
see that. It's like when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, often gifts don't come by themselves. There may be two gifts operating or two or three gifts operating at the same time. I think that, again, the prayer, petition, and faith, because you can call it either one, Neil said earlier, and I see that, is that they're the same when it's the prayer of agreement, but you're including two or more people. So
mm-hmm.
likewise, the prayer of supplication can cover, can kind of be a part of other types of prayer because it's dealing with the manner in which you pray, as opposed to actually what you say. Glory to God. Any questions or comments? Prayer supplication.
I have two questions. We pray directly to God in the name of Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if Sister Peaches will give me those addresses again, I would greatly appreciate it.
Philippians 4, 6 to 7, Ephesians 6, 18, and 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2.
Thank you.
Now, I recommend that you go back and go to YouTube
mm-hmm.
and go to Neil Reyes and his first audio, his first video concerning the nine types of prayer, where he talks about and he gives the scriptures, because Christ said, when you pray to Father God in my name. And so a lot of people, they don't follow that protocol. And if you don't follow the protocol that Christ gives, then I think there will be a problem in getting the answer that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the scripture, I think it wasn't an act that he gave, but review the first video that gave a kind of like an overview of the nine types of prayer, and you will see the scriptures. He did share those scriptures. Do you have those scriptures down from the first video, Pastor Peaches?
What was the first one?
The first, just before he dealt with the prayer, a prayer of petition or faith. It was the general. He dealt with a general overview of the nine types of prayer, and then the next video was the first one, the prayer of petition or faith.
He gave us a long list. It was a long list of
yeah, it was a long list. But
Mark 11:24, John 16:23-24.
Uh-huh.
First John 5:14, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Philippians
2. It is important for you to understand, we pray to the Father God in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jesus is our intercessor. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So that's the protocol. And I expect God to answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture for Jeff Corder that was, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:20. Or is it 2 Corinthians? I think it's 2 Corinthians 1:20.
2 Corinthians 1:20.
Yeah, all the promises of God are yay, amen.
Yes.
To the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Almighty God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, Elder Cuba, you had another question.
Oh, I was just thinking. You know, we pray all over the place.
I know.
But when we find out there are rules and regulations to doing it, we get a more direct answer much faster, and it's in a more respectful, orderly way. Because when you know better, you do better.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the key is that it's in the Word. It's not my tradition. It's not what I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Word said so. Jesus said, ask, you know, heretofore, you haven't had to ask, you know, of me anything, but I'm going to go to my Father. And so when I go there, I'm going to be your intercessor. But you ask in the name of the Lord in my name. You ask God in my name. That's what he said. I think, was that in John? Okay.
Yeah, 1 John 5:15-16. Ask anything.
Okay, so we understand that now, and he's going to do things according to his will. 5-year-old asking for a Bentley for them to drive. I don't think it's in the will of God for a 5-year-old to be behind the wheel of a Bentley and driving down the street. What do you think? So it has to be according to the will of God. And we must do what Jesus did. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we want to do it God's way and according to his will. Any questions or comments, again, on the prayer of supplication or anything concerning this prayer?
Can you spell that website?
Oh, it's Neal Reyes. His first name is N-E-A-L, N as in now, Neal, and his last name Reyes. It's R-E-Y-E-S.
Okay.
R-E-Y-E-S.
Okay, got it.
Neal Reyes. And you can put Neal Reyes in the types of prayer or whatever you're looking for, because usually he has a champion's minute with a lot of different subjects. And the one thing I like about Neal is that he deals with the Word of God. It's not his opinion. It's the Word of God. He goes right to the Word of God. Any other questions, comments? Pastor Wright, any questions, comments?
I enjoyed this.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're good. The next.
Excuse me, Pastor. Excuse me, Pastor. This speaking AJ.
Yes.
But this time, this specific one from the beginning, you're going to have to put Neal Reyes, different types of prayer.
Yeah, that's what you
if you want to find this one from the beginning.
Right, and what will come up is the first video will be the overview of the nine gifts. He'll talk about the nine types of prayer. He'll talk about he'll name them and reason why people don't get their prayer. Some reasons why people don't get their prayer, and that type of thing. And then
he'll have the nine, and then you'll be able to go down and pick the ones that you want.
Yes, that's correct. Now, on my cell phone, I wish it would come up to me in order. It doesn't come up to me in order on my phone. I don't know why it doesn't do that. It would seem that if I go to prayer of agreement, then I just hit next, and it's just a prayer of supplication. It didn't do that. I had to actually play around to try to get the prayer of supplication. But you'll be able to see it and be able to look and see and be able to pull it up, whatever you're looking for.
I've been watching it on TV, on YouTube, if you have the internet.
All right, and it's good. So I recommend, I thank you for saying that, because if you can get it on YouTube, y'all,
it's free.
You can go over and after this teaching, we may do the teaching on the nine gifts of the Spirit, or we may do a teaching, and it's coming, on why God is not in favor the zodiac signs. We hear a lot of Christians talk about, what sign are you? I'm the sign. But the scriptures talk about that. And God is preparing me now to teach on that.
Because the door for
a demonic infestation, and people don't understand that. But anyway, we thank God for the prayer. My alarm hasn't gone off yet, so we got more time to discuss this prayer.
13 minutes.
Okay.
Can I make a comment, Pastor?
Yeah.
I think when I guess have experienced when people are newborn babies in Christ, and it seems like the least little thing they pray about, it just pops up. It's just there. It's just there. And I think and if they don't know, I guess, the rules or steps or things that how to go by anything. They just know, oh, God, I need, or God bless this. And it seems like things are they're just right there. And then when you know more, you do better. You do better. Then as time go on, it seems like as they learn, then they learn how to go before God for different things. And they find out, okay, this is how I'm supposed to pray about this. And then different things, I seem like it takes a little while longer for things to appear, things to happen, for the prayers to get answered, whatever. And Then as they learn how to put things in place, as they learn how to pray, put a scripture on their desires and stand on it after they pray, then just thank God for it. And I think that causes their faith, as their faith grows, seem like that's when, their prayers are answered.
I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying when you're finished. Go ahead. You're doing fine.
Yes, and they learn how to pray about certain things, then things are things come to fruition. But in initially, I think when they are babes in Christ, things just pop. They just the prayers are just answered. And all, but then as they stay in Christ and they learn, and the longer they're in Christ and they learn more, then I think, and they pray, their prayers get matured or whatever, and they start dealing with the word, and the word, and they see that the word produces, and all, and it, it seemed like it took a little while longer for the some things that they're praying for to come around.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just share?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like a newborn baby. You know, we do almost everything for them. They cry.
Mm-hmm.
We see if they're wet. You change them or crying, they're hungry, or maybe the pin sticking in them or something. We everything is done for them. But as they grow, it's more things that they are expected to do on their own.
Yeah.
And that's why it looks like some newborn baby cried for it. They pray, I need a new car. And next thing you know, they got a new car. You know, say, wow, that's awesome. And then I've seen it where older saints have been around for a while, got jealous of the newborn saints. And they didn't understand what was going on. Because when you're new, when you're about a babe in Christ, you know, a lot of things are done for you. Even though it seems like they're praying for stuff, but there's somebody else behind them that's also calling out the name, Lord, answer their prayers. But they got a lot of people doing stuff for them because they knew. They just been born. But as they grow older, we expect them to be able to go to the bathroom for themselves, you know, to be able to feed themselves, you understand? And then they go to school, and stuff gets a little harder, and it's more effort that they got to put up in order to get the same results or even more results.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of growing up spiritually, physically as well as spiritually. And to some who are still holding on, who want to be a baby, who still want to, you know, be on milk, they look at that and say, that's fair. I've had folks say something like that. That's something like that. Get his friends answered right away, and it looks like it's like pulling teeth. Well, it's because a newborn baby got a whole lot. Look, a village is praying for them. You know, because they're newborn, they can't walk, they can't hardly talk. They may da 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 da. They may not know the words to say it. But God says, that's my newborn baby. I got to take care of the baby. And whatever. But as you grow, you're supposed to grow. And more is put on your plate that you have to handle as opposed to somebody else handling it for you. I don't know if that makes any sense. Do anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense. I just wanted to say, listening to this teachings has disturbed me so to realize we have gotten hold to something so precious, and I want to respect it by being hungry on purpose for more and more, because it helps me come before my Father in a more respectful, loving, and humble way to bow down before Him, to get the things that He has already promised, but He has rules to it. You know, He said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly, but as you pass from milk into meat, He's expecting you to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
And come before me better than you did when you first knew about me. So respect, you know more, so respect me more. I'm expecting that from you, because we are an investment and He's looking for a return. And keep in mind, we got people looking at us. So we got to bring it and act like we know and give some respectability to being a child of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with us making a decision down in our north that we have to be the best that we can be because of Him. He's looking for us to be the hands and feet on this earth because He ain't coming back down here. So it's up to us to sharpen our tools on purpose to take in these messages and the word that we're being taught so wonderfully and carry it preciously in our hearts and respect it so much by applying it quickly to our character, to our learning and our talking and as we share with others, because we're not chopped liver. We're prime rib, and we got to act like it. Act like you know.
Amen. Too much is given, much is required.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus is not coming back down to get up on no cross. He done completed that part of the program. The next time he comes, he's going to come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And the only way we can do that stuff is that we honor that stuff. We make sure we want.
Your input is invalid.
Hallelujah. We get the knowledge and we share it. We share it by our actions, the way we treat each other, and then we share it by teaching others. And this is what we're doing here. The nine types of prayer, I mean, when we finish this thing up, I believe each and everyone that has gone through this types of prayer will be able to share and show others how to get a prayer answered. And that's we'll say, well, I guess all that's left to do is to pray. That's the first thing we ought to do. Take it to the Lord in prayer. First thing.
Yeah.
Everything else comes next, but first thing. And we need to realize that. I thank God for that. Any other comments or questions?
Hello, how are you doing? This is Sister DNA. I was just saying I really enjoyed the learning session tonight. And it did help me insight on some of the ways of prayer, of how to start praying more. And I mean, I always come to my Father as a humble person and humble soul of what's on my mind, more so than now understanding why you had what's the concept and why you come like that. So I definitely want to say thank you for this learning session.
Praise God. God bless you. We're glad that God is blessing you too and your family. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Any more comments or questions? Well,
again, this Bible study has encouraged me tonight, and it's also, you know, always give me the strength, you know. It always empower me. It always give me the tools, just like when I finish this, like I said, I'm going on YouTube, listen to a couple of prayers before I lay down tonight, you know. But again, to be humble in prayer and to come with a peaceful heart, you know, then things will happen and things will get answered. But once again, I just want to thank you again for the invitation on this line tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, this is one thing that I think we all need to understand, that every situation that we could possibly come up in this life is addressed in the Word of God. And, you know, I tell folks there's 788,280 words in the King James Version Bible. And whatever you're going through, it's in there. Whatever situation, it's in there. And as Phil Mayer says, that look here, don't be focusing on the problem. Focus on the solution, what you want to see.
Amen. Amen.
That's real key, because a lot of people will do the opposite. They're focusing on a problem, and then they'll say, Lord, I hope you can help me out. It's the other way around. Let's focus in on the solution, the seeing God move and standing on his word.
Yeah.
And the rest will take care of itself. God connects the dots. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
And remember, again, the nine types of prayer. There's a prayer of petition or faith, a prayer of agreement, a prayer of supplication, the prayer of dedication or consecration, the prayer of thanksgiving, worship, and praise, the prayer of casting all your cares upon the Lord, united prayer or what they call corporate prayer, intercessory prayer, and praying in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're going to go all of that.
Yes. And to fall back on what you just said, Pastor Bird, again, you know, even with my prayers, now let me say this. You never met me, you know, but I am a really, really true child of God. I do his will, his way. Now, when something opposite comes my way, I do not worry because I know that I don't have no hands in the unjust. I know that God is going to take care of it for me because he leads me. He guides me. He directs me to do all that he wants me to do. Like I said, when I wake up in the morning, I don't know what God's will is, but whatever he sees me to do, then this is what I'm going to do. So when I pray, to be honest with you, I never have to pray to worry about what the problem is. Mm-hmm. I always pray, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. You know how to take care of it. And I'm not going to let anyone take that joy or that spirit from me because I am the gift. Well, anybody that has been around me has been blessed. Some people that was not around me would not have been blessed. It was not for me because God put me there to bless people.
Right.
And this is my job. This is my job. So anything that happens, anything that happens, you better trust and believe that God always had me because he knows my heart from the time I was a child. He's been using me from a child.
Hallelujah.
I'm taking care of my grandmother, my father, my aunt, my other grandmother, moving me from state to state to take care of other people. This is what part of my job is that God wants me to do because he knows that anybody that is in my care, it's nothing but love, peace, and trust. And I'm going to always follow that will with him.
Okay.
So, no, I never pray about the bad things first.
Okay.
Because to be honest with you, there's not too many bad things in my life.
Praise God. Praise God. Sister Camilla, I want to share something with you. We have authority as children of the King. And there's some things that we must we do ourselves. The Bible says that we have the authority to bind and to loose. God is not going to bind anything here. He's not going to loose it because that's our job. You have the authority to bind the enemy. And what is bound in earth is bound in heaven. You have the ability to loose. You can loose the goodness of the Lord in people's lives. You can loose the salvation of God in folks' lives. You can send it to that door, knock on that door. Glory to God. You have authority. And some things I know we put on God. But God said, I gave you authority. Psalms 115 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but good here. He said, I have given the world to you. You have now the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You have the authority to bind and to loose. Glory to God. Matthew 18:18. You have the 18 and 19. You have that authority. You can do that. All of us. See, there's a book I recommend all of you to read. It's called The Authority of the Believer. It's written by Hagin. What was his first name?
Kenneth
Hagin Sr. Kenneth Hagin Sr. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but it was a tremendous book. It's a small book. I hope it's still in print. The Authority.
Mm-hmm.
You got authority.
The Authority.
Tread on
serpents. Yes.
Jesus gave that too. Luke, what's that? Luke 10:19. And you have more power than all the power of the enemy. You. And you can do two of God's hands and feet in this earth. But the alarm went off. Any more questions? Any more questions at all or comments before we close out?
I want to just share with you, y'all got more power in your little finger than the devil got in his whole body. As great as
Amen.
He is, than he is in the world. Father God, we thank you for the Bible study on tonight. We thank you for all those who were on the call tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those who contributed comments and questions or answers or comments, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for Neil Reyes. We ask that you would bless him and his ministry and his family, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for blessing every family that's represented on this call tonight. We praise and magnify your name. We glorify your name, oh God. We praise your name. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
God
Amen.
Loves you. We love you too.
Amen.
I tell you, there's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. We invite you to tune into our Wednesday service on tomorrow, hallelujah, at 7 p.m. The number to call is 515-602-9787. That's all you got to call. And Wednesday service.
Oh, repeat that.
515-602.
Uh-huh. Okay.
9787. And that's the number to call on Wednesdays and Sundays. Sunday is the fifth Sunday, so we won't have a live service. Of the Sundays that we do have a live service, and you can't make it, you can still dial that number. Now you can dial that number. We're gonna have a service from the archives on Sunday. So at 3 o'clock on Sunday, you can dial 515-602-9787 to hear the service, and of course tomorrow night at 7 p.m. But God bless you all. We love you. God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a blessed rest of your day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to get our music. Okay, I think we found it. All right.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Holy earth,
be blessed to the Lord, everybody.
Jesus. Sing Jesus.
turning when it's on my lips. Your spirit is like water to my dry, thirsty soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Have a blessed night, everyone. God bless you now.
Amen. God bless you, too.